Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, we will continue our series on Motivate, the 8 secrets of influencing loved ones, children, friends for lasting impact. Let's have a quick review. M stands for modeling. O, open communication. T, time. I, intimacy. Today, we'll discuss V, vision. So what is the principle of vision? Vision gives direction. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 29, verse 18, without vision, the people perish. What does that mean? The word vision comes from the root word revelation. It's a revelation of God's will, God's command, God's word. So, without vision, the people perish. What is the meaning of the word perish? Some of your translation will say people become unrestrained. People go wild. There's no boundaries. They don't know what's right, what's wrong. So, vision is very, very crucial. Because vision gives us direction. Let me explain to you. Vision and mission are closely related. You see, mission tells us what we are supposed to be doing. Vision is a picture from the word video. It's a mental picture of what will happen if we pursue our mission. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus tells his disciples, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations." Here is the mission, to go and make disciples. And then he tells us, how do you go and make disciples? Notice the following phrase, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. So a part of our mission in making disciples is to teach them obedience. Once we do that, what's going to happen? The vision tells us you will see the world transform. And the Bible gives us a picture that is found in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Let me read for you. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. The Bible tells us God gave his disciples a vision of what's going to happen someday. People from every tongue, tribe, an amazing congregation that no one can count. It's a great multitude. That's God's vision. How do we accomplish God's vision? Fulfill His mission today. I'm reminded of the importance of vision. We have a leader who came from a dysfunctional family. His father was a drunk, womanizer, involved with gambling, drugs. As he grew older, as he got married, his own family became dysfunctional. His marriage was a mess. His life was a mess. He's into alcoholism, drugs, womanizing. As he got sick and tired of his life, his wife was able to slowly but surely influence him, and he met Jesus. When he met Jesus, God gave him a vision of what a family should be. God gave him a vision of what his life can be. And I'm happy to tell you, this brother of ours, by the grace of God, is now a leader and a pastor. He did not allow his past to paralyze him. God gave him a vision of the future, what life should be, what life can be in Christ. Today, he's one of our leaders, especially in helping disciple young people, discipling family. God is amazing. According to Helen Keller, the only thing that is worse than being blind is having sight, but have no vision. Is there anything worse than having no vision? Well, I'm going to warn you. It is having the wrong kind of vision. What do I mean by the wrong kind of vision? When your vision is about yourself. When your vision is all about materialism, about your own family, the end result will be emptiness, despair. You know, the Bible describes such a life. It's found in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. It talks about a man who is very successful. He acquired power. He acquired possessions. He had everything. Let me read for you the story of this man. Verse 8, I collected for myself silver and gold, the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. You see, for some people, that's their vision in life. Lots of money, eat, drink, be merry, enjoy life. The pleasures of life, that's his vision. What happened? Well, if you look at verse 11, this is what he said. I considered all my activities which my hands had done and labor which I had exerted. Behold, all was vanity, striving after the wind. There was no profit under the sun. He talks about his life was like striving after the wind. It's like grabbing the wind. How can you grab the wind? It's empty. In verse 17, he talks about his personal feeling. How I hated life. He talks about the work I've done was grievous. I hated all the fruit of my labor, which I had labored. You see, when he was able to accomplish his earthly goals, all of his vision, what happened? He said, I hated all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun. I must leave it to the man who will come after me. Who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will have control over the fruit of my labor for which I have labored by acting wisely under the sun. This too is vanity. Therefore, I completely despaired of all the fruit of my labor, which I have labored under the sun. You see, if your vision in life is all about materialism, worldly success, the result is despair, emptiness. What's the main difference between a God-centered vision and a man-centered vision? A man-centered vision is all about himself, his own agenda. It's temporal. But a God-centered vision is all about God's agenda, God's mission. It has eternal significance. And above all, it will help the greatest number of people. It's a life of fulfillment, a life of joy. Do you know what is God's vision for your life? Have you thought about it? The grander the vision, the greater is the motivation and willingness to sacrifice. Let me repeat. The grander the vision, the greater is the motivation and willingness to sacrifice. God wants you to know his vision for your life. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. Many of us are familiar with these verses, but we don't see the connection. Notice the sequencing. God's vision for us. Number one, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's about salvation. God wants us to know that most important is how we are saved. Salvation through faith. Notice, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The Bible is very clear. Salvation is a gift, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. God wants us to know His vision for us, His plan for us, is we will be saved. We will come to know Him. We don't have to be afraid of dying. We don't have to be afraid of hell, because He promised us salvation by grace through faith. But once you understand salvation, He wants you to know the next step. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Do you notice something? We are His workmanship. The word workmanship has the idea of masterpiece. It's from the Greek word poema, poem. You are unique. You are one of its kind. God is saying, I have thought about you. You are so special, and I have great plans for you. And what is God's plan for us? For good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God has something planned out for us. And your mission and my mission is to find out what is God's amazing plan, amazing vision for your life and my life. Do you remember what Mark Twain said? The two most important days of your life, the day you were born, the day you find out why you were born. Can I tell you something? For followers of Jesus, you have the three most important days of your life. What are the three most important days of your life? The day you were born, praise God. The day you were born again. The day you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And thirdly, the day you understand why you were born again into God's family. You need to find out why God gave you eternal life. What is His purpose for your life? And that will not happen until you have an encounter, until you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that is exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul. In Acts 26, verses 16 to 18, you will notice about the life of Paul. Paul was once upon a time totally against Christianity. He is totally against Christ. His vision in life is to destroy Christians. But notice what happened. The Bible tells us on the Damascus Road, he met Jesus. By grace, Jesus appeared to him. And this is what happened. God spoke to the Apostle Paul, get up, stand on your feet. For this purpose, I've appeared to you to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you. God has a purpose. God has a plan. And God says, I'm going to appoint you to be a minister and a witness. And that's what we are all to become. A servant of the Lord, a minister, and we are to be a witness. But notice something. Rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles. In other words, God's vision, many times, may be tough. But once you understand the greatness of God's vision, you are able to endure. You are able to persevere. The word rescuing implies there will be danger. There will be hardship. So what will keep you going? What kept the Apostle Paul going in spite of all the problems? An amazing vision from God. Look at verse 16. Not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you. You see, God gave Paul amazing vision to show him the greatness of his calling, to help open the eyes of the blind spiritually, that they will turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God. You and I are given that privilege. What can be more valuable than the eternal souls of men and women? And above all, to receive forgiveness of sins. And not just receive forgiveness of sins. an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith. God gave us amazing promises. Inheritance, which money cannot buy. It's priceless. Once you understand God's vision, what He wants to do in your life, through your life, your direction in life will become a great inspiration. You will notice God's mission, vision for Paul. It's like what He said to the early church in Acts 1:8. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the rest of the world. Exactly Acts 26, Paul kept declaring in Jerusalem, in the region of Judea, and to the Gentiles. Paul had this vision clearly in his mind. Someday, at the name of Jesus, every knee, those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I wonder whether you have that vision in your mind. The day will come. It doesn't matter what is your religion. It does not matter whether you're rich or poor. It does not matter what is the color of your skin. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess to our Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, when I was a young man, I wanted to become the richest man in Asia. That was my vision. But you know, God did something dramatic. God grabbed a hold of my life. And by doing that, He transformed my vision from materialism, money, into expanding His kingdom. And by the grace of God, God showed me that my mission in life is to fulfill the Great Commission, to go make disciples. And that's why CCF was birthed. That's the origin. God showed me, why don't you use your influence to inspire business people, for professionals, to carry on the work of evangelism and discipleship? People often ask me, was that a downgrade of your vision? Can I tell you something? That vision is far better than becoming the richest man. You know why? It has eternal impact. It has broader impact. And by the grace of God, let me tell you something. When you put God first, His promise is true. I never realized that God will bless our family business even more. Why? God gave us a promise. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. To me, one of my greatest joy today is to serve God as a businessman, as a self-supporting pastor. And one of my great joy is seeing hundreds of other business people serving the Lord in a similar capacity. Many of our leaders, many of our pastors are self-supporting. Why? It's a vision God has given us. Serve me wherever you are. It doesn't matter whether you're a housewife, a businessman, professionals, a banker, wherever you are. God has an amazing vision for your life. Serve Him. Do your best. I have one important word I want to share with you. It's called intentionality. What is intentionality? In life, you don't get what you hope and dream for. You get what you really do intentionally. In other words, intentionality turns hopes and dreams and visions into reality. See, no amount of dreaming, no amount of hoping will accomplish anything unless you're intentional. Intentionality is doing something that you don't necessarily want to do to get the result that you would like to have. And that involves understanding the purpose of life. How do you pass on this vision to to others, to your children, to your disciples, to your loved ones. Begin with yourself. You must be intentional with understanding God's vision for your life. Then and only can you learn to pass vision to your loved ones, to your children, to your disciples, and help them develop God's vision for their lives. I'm going to ask my son, Peter Jr., to share with you about the importance of vision and how it was passed on to him.
Greetings in the name of Jesus. My name is Peter.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Tegan.
There's a quote by Lewis Carroll who wrote Alice in Wonderland. And it says this, "If you don't know where you're going, then it doesn't matter what road you take." It describes an experience in my life. I spent an unbalanced amount of my life giving in to fun in the form of uncontrolled gaming. In Proverbs 29:18, Solomon says wisely, "Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained." And that was me. Sure, on the outside, I seemed okay. You know, I didn't get into drugs. I didn't get drunk and get into fights. But on the inside, where only God knows what's going on, I was unrestrained. But there's always hope in God. And I want to share three short stories of how God used my parents to recast vision into my lives. The first was when I was young and already working. I had a good job, but I was always looking forward to the next game. And that's what I live for. And my dad challenged me to get an MBA. It was hard to apply for an MBA. He led me to mentors who would guide me. So I had to put down gaming. But as a result of that challenge, I got into one of the best programs in the world. And it, you know, my dad was instrumental in giving me a vision for something more than just working every day and having fun gaming. Second story, I had already finished my MBA and I was working at a good job in a multinational in the United States. My parents visited me. And they challenged me beyond just working. They asked me, you know, is there anyone you're interested in? At this point in time, my brother was already married and my sister. And I was the bachelor who was just living in New York City. And, you know, when they challenged me, I started to think about it. And I remember praying every day after that, "Lord, will you guide me in this area?" And somehow one night I met my wife at a church as I was serving God. And I'm going to ask her to share how God used her family to cast a vision in her life.
Yes. So I grew up with a family full of teachers. My grandfather was a teacher, a principal, and then became a superintendent. And my grandmother was a fourth grade teacher for 25 years. And my mom was a high school teacher for 20 plus years. And so naturally, that's what I saw. I saw their schedules. I saw that they got home pretty soon after the kids got home from school, and I also saw that they got summer vacations off. So naturally, that's what I pursued in college, and my undergraduate was in early childhood, and my master's was in early childhood as well. Before I met Peter, I actually remember being in my classroom thinking, I can't wait if I am blessed with a husband and a family to homeschool my own kids someday. And so when I met Peter, it was such an awesome surprise to realize that he was homeschooled himself, and that he also, if ever, would like to homeschool his own children. So, and I'm excitedly homeschooling our own children today.
Yeah, thanks, honey. So it is amazing, right? So Jennifer's parents were an example, and that cast a vision into her life of being a teacher, and it carried her forward. She took a master's, and she actually taught at one of the best schools in New York City for young children. So my last story, as we wrap up, is we already have a daughter. We're parents in the city. And my heart, you know, again, I start to play a lot of games because I enjoy it. And my dad and mom visit, and they challenge me again. They ask, you know, what else do you want to do with your life? Do you see yourself serving God? And so they ask questions that made me think and open my heart to eventually moving here, because we can serve God more here. So they awakened in our hearts a passion to do something for the Lord, for the one who made us. So now that we have our children, I'm trying to cast vision into their lives, and I'm realizing it's actually really hard. But I remember something my parents did for us while we were growing up. It has to do with our identity. So I asked my daughter to join us so I can ask her a few questions so you can see how we're having these conversations. Hi, Tegan.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
How old are you?
I'm 10.
Tegan, let me ask you a question. What do you want to do with your life?
I want to serve and please God.
Tegan, why do you want to serve and please God?
Because He made me and I was made to glorify Him.
How do you think you can serve and please God?
By developing all my skills and using them to glorify Him and witnessing to others about Jesus.
You know, I love something about what she answered. We don't know whether she'll be a singer, a teacher, but she said, I will develop all my skills for God. So she will try to become the best she can be. And that, to me, is a great vision for a young person. And I wanted to ask the last question, which to me is the most important. Tegan, who are you?
I'm a child of God.
How does that make you feel?
Very special, because He is the King.
And so I want to close with that idea, right? The Bible says that we will reign with Him. So maybe we can start living like the future prince and princesses we were made to be. It's beautiful. God didn't cast a vision from heaven by just sending us some words on a piece of paper. God came down in the form of Jesus Christ to model, to have open communication with us, to spend time with us and build intimacy so that we can have the greatest vision of our lives. We were made to glorify Him, and we will never truly be happy until we find our happiness in God and glorifying Him. So thank you, Lord. And
to God be all the glory.
Praise God for His testimony. You see, Peter learned something very important. The vision should impact present choices. You are free to choose, but you are not free to choose the consequences of your decisions. Many people don't realize choices have consequences. They may not be immediate, but sooner or later, you will experience the consequences of those choices. So, are you intentional in focusing on God's vision for your life and doing something about it? Because what you do now will impact your future. But more importantly, I'd like you to learn something. You should allow God's vision for your life to impact your present choices, because they are connected. I'm going to ask my wife to share with us how she was intentional in involving our children.
As Peter shared, we were very intentional in casting vision for our children. When they were young and homeschooling, we shared the gospel with them about good news of how to have eternal life in Christ Jesus. When they trusted in Jesus Christ, then we had them memorize verses from the Bible that they could use in sharing the gospel with others. We explained to them that the Bible says that a person who doesn't have Jesus will not have eternal life. They'll be separated from God forever. And those who have Jesus have eternal life. So they got this vision of the need to share the gospel. Now, how did this translate into action? When our children went into school, in middle school, they actually asked us to come and train their classmates how to share the gospel. And then they went with us and their classmates to Mega Mall, where they randomly shared the gospel with other people. And I remember seeing Candy, and this older lady was sitting down in a chair, and she was standing sharing the gospel with this lady, unashamed. And the lady looked at her, was nodding, and the lady prayed to receive Christ. Well, we explained to our children that no matter what you become, whether you become a businessman, a doctor, a teacher, that is your occupation. Of course, you'll have visions for those occupations. But the overarching vision of God for all of those who follow Jesus is that we would make Christ-committed followers by sharing the good news about Jesus and then helping them grow in Christ-likeness. So even now, as our children are older and they're running our business, during this lockdown, we had 1,000 workers that were locked down for so many months. What did our sons do? Because they know that the overarching purpose and vision of God is to share the gospel, they bought big screen TVs and they put them on the sites. And then they bought big speakers and they were broadcasting the Sunday messages. They were broadcasting all these different gospel presentations so that the workers could come to know Christ. Our son just got 5,000 flyers about Jesus Christ to pass out to all the workers and wherever we go, because this is God's mission. This is God's vision for all of us who call Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I pray that you would have the same burden to pass this on to your children, to model it to your disciples, so that we could make Jesus' kingdom come and fulfill his vision.
I want to praise God for my wife, for being intentional, for teaching them, and above all, for involving them. Thank you, baby. To be intentional, you must inspire them. What do we mean by inspiring your children, your loved ones? The best example that I can think of is what God did with Gideon. In Judges chapter 6, verses 12 to 14, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Then Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." In other words, you can see Gideon so discouraged. He could not reconcile what was happening to his life and the presence of God. But what did God do? "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Gideon did not yet fight any battle. He had not fought. In fact, he was scared. And yet God called him, "O valiant warrior." The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength, deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" You see, God inspired Gideon. "You be the leader. You deliver them." This is what Gideon said, "Oh Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh. I am the youngest in my father's house." You see, Gideon was looking at himself. And for Gideon, "I cannot do this. I am the least. I am the youngest. How can I do this?" What is inspiration? It is casting a vision of what you can become because of God. And this is what the Lord said. The Lord, not this capital L-O-R-D, the Lord himself said to him, "Surely I will be with you. You shall defeat Midian as one man." Wow, God gave him an inspiration, a vision. God is saying, "I'm going to be with you." God did not see Gideon as is. God saw what Gideon can become. You see, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, "I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it, will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus." So the lesson is this: do not see people as they are. You must see what they can become in Christ. Do not see your children as they are today. See what they can become in Christ. But more than that, allow your disciples to see what they can become in Christ also. Many times we get so discouraged with people. We think they're hopeless. May I suggest, learn to see people with different perspective. Learn to see people with the eyes of an encourager, with the eyes of a dream releaser. Because no one is beyond hope. With God, nothing is impossible. A good leader must not only understand God's vision for his life or her life. A good leader must be someone who will not only retain that vision, fulfill that vision, but above all, learn to pass on that vision. God's vision is always bigger than what we can do. Apart from God, we cannot accomplish his vision. And that's why I focus on the reality of God's Holy Spirit to enable us to fulfill his vision. My own personal vision, if you were to ask me, I want to hear God someday telling me, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will now put you in charge of many things." Do you see that vision? "I will now put you in charge of many things." That is future. What I do now for God is one thing. But someday God will make me be in charge of many things. Amazing vision. Have you thought about God's vision for your life? How do you see yourself? There are only two possibilities at the end of your life. One, you will live a life of regret. You'll be saying, "I wish I should have done this." Or you will live a life of fulfillment, a life of joy. Remember, only two possibilities at the end of your life. Eternally joyful, saying, "Lord, I thank you. You have helped me live a life that's pleasing to you." Or a life of eternal separation from God, a life of eternal regret. A vision is one thing, but what are you going to do about it? One thing to go to heaven is one thing, but what are you going to do about it today? I pray you make a choice. Pray this prayer with me in humility. "Lord Jesus, I come before you admitting I have never really surrendered my life to you. I have never really repented of my sins. I have never really accepted you as my Lord and Savior. I have never really entrusted my life to you. Today I invite you as my Lord and my Savior. Today I accept your gift of forgiveness. I accept your gift of eternal life. Thank you that it is by grace, through faith. Lord, help me to understand your vision so that I'll be faithful in doing what you want me to do, beginning today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen."